the coolest. No, you're the coolest. No, you're the coolest. Okay, I'm the coolest. Yeah, I agree.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, depending on whenever you are listening to this. I am Pastor Floyd Hughes from Crossroads Community Church of Jefferson Hills, and with me as always is
Pastor Mark Berkshire with Meadow Run Community Church in Ohio Powell, and it's good to be back with you.
Yeah, we took an extended break after the Christmas and New Year's, after the holidays, and we will start with, we've got such a good topic. I asked online across multiple platforms for people what are their questions on this topic, and got, usually we'll get maybe 3, 4, 5. I got like at least 20 different questions. Some of them overlap. We'll get to it in a minute. But first, what are you preaching on?
Turning water into wine, and why it's so important for us to know that story.
I thought you were going to say why it's so important for us to have water and wine.
No, but I do have a story. There's an old story coming out of Kentucky about a traveling pastor who, he was a circuit pastor back in the 30s, and he had a little nipping problem with a little bit of wine that he used for communion. He was a drunk, basically. And one night he was leaving the service, and the sheriff pulled him over and said, "Pastor Jones, you were weaving all over the road. What's in that bottle in your back seat?" He says, "Nothing but water." He says, "Well, I'm going to have to look at it." And he popped the cork and he smelled it. He said, "Pastor Jones, this is wine." And Pastor Jones goes, "Hallelujah, he did it again." So that's, you know, we joke about it, but it's a real story that happened, and we need to discuss it.
Yeah. And we are, actually, I am not preaching this Sunday. We have a missionary coming in. We have our annual business meeting where we vote on and confirm some new elders, and we'll vote on and confirm the budget for 2026. And then we have a missionary coming in who's speaking, and we were just talking about it's all going to depend on the weather, because there's a snowstorm hitting not just us, but I guess the entire East Coast, or most of the East Coast. And so we're praying through, I don't want to have this missionary fly in
right
on Saturday night, and then Sunday we wake up to, you know, closing, or even if we just live stream only, because the only reason she's really coming is to connect with the people. And yeah, we could put her on live stream, but you know, she wants to like talk to people, meet people, get reconnected with the people who already know her, and then reconnect, because there's a handful of people who have never met her.
And I'm grappling with the same idea because of where my church is located down in the gully.
So this weather has us making a lot of decisions. But today's topic, I actually did not think this was going to be as big a topic as it was.
Yeah.
And maybe it's, you know, our phone's listening to us, but right after I was messaging you with, "Hey, what about this topic?" All of a sudden, across every social media platform, I started seeing questions about tithing, people concerned about tithing, people wondering where the money goes from the tithing, all the things. Just started seeing all of this right after you and I were messaging about it. So the question we had was about tithing. And I put out a video saying, you know, does anyone have questions on it? Do they want to know what it is? Do they want to know, should the church still be tithing today? Because that's an issue we're going to talk about. You brought up a really good one. Should pastors tithe? That someone brought to your attention because they say they're just paying themselves. We're going to tackle that. All the things. And another really big one was, where should the money that the church collects, where should that go? How should that be used? And one of my big things is, who has a say? But yeah. I feel like if you're not a part of that congregation, you shouldn't have a say. But we're going to hit all that. But the first thing is talking about what tithing is. So do you want to jump in that first, or you want me to?
Either way, I'm good either way. I mean, tithing is an Old Testament concept. It comes out of the Old Testament in number of different places, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Leviticus, all talks about tithing. And it was tithing was for the Israelites. They were to give the first of their first fruits to the priest and the Levites, because the priest and Levites didn't have any income. So they were to give that. And they were to give the first of their crops, first of their livestock that they wrote, that they raised, and they were to give it to the temple for the celebrations of the feasts, the sacrifices, and also for just taking care of the Levites and the priests. So the Old Testament was to support the Levites, to celebrate the feast, and to give to the poor in the community that couldn't take care of themselves. That was the whole idea of tithing in the Old Testament. When Jesus came, he fulfilled all of the Mosaic laws. So that included tithing, but yet there's still principles of tithing in the New Testament. So, but tithing itself is very rooted in the very foundation of the Bible.
So can I add a different perspective to that?
Yes.
Well, first, all that's true. Yes, all that's true. But even though it wasn't commanded, the very first instance of tithing that's recorded, and someone corrected me on this, so I have to clarify, I'm saying biblically, because I shared this in a video and they said, well, actually the Egyptians tithe and all these other things tithe. And I'm like, we're not talking about them. We're talking about biblically. So there's two things to look at. And I think you hit the nail on the head, because the main thing we're looking at is the command of God, which is, as you said, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, all the reasons. But the first instance is in Genesis chapter, I think it's 14, where Abraham tithed after he fought to recapture his nephew Lot from this war that was going on with five different kings. And they came in that war. His nephew got captured and taken captive. So Abraham went with, I think it says the, might have said 300, I think it might have been 100 men born in his household, because he was wealthy, recaptured Lot, and it says all the possessions. And the possessions would include cattle, clothing, money, and people in that day. Money, not like dollar bills, but whatever the exchange was, gold, silver, whatever. He captured and took all of that. And then along the way, he met Melchizedek, who was the priest of God Most High, who told him, hey, the reason that you were successful is because you were blessed by God. And then in response to that, he gave it uses the word tithe, which literally means a tenth, to Melchizedek. So the original instance, although it wasn't commanded by God, but the original instance of tithing was as an act of worship upon recognizing that what he received was a blessing from God.
Right.
So from my mind going forward, that's what I think of tithing. However, comma, what you brought up is the bulk of what many people think of, the legal command from God to the Israelites, and whether or not that's binding on the church. And I would agree. I'm going to share what you shared before on your answer on whether or not it's binding on the church, and then we'll go into all these questions that we have from people.
Okay, one of the categories or one of the things you wrote that I saw was someone saying the Christians are not called to tithe. And my answer to that is, you're right. We are not called to tithe because tithing was an Old Testament principle or an Old Testament statute directed towards the Israelites. But if you go to the New Testament, we are told to give with cheerful hearts. So I think the church kind of has it wrong as far as we don't do a tithe now, we do an offering. So what we give is sacrificial offering. We use the principle of 10% as a minimum starting point to that, but it is something that is that God has to lay on your heart to give, and it's something that we need to be obedient in our giving to the church and to Christian organizations, for that matter.
So yeah, that is the epitome of everything that
yeah.
I was gonna say, with the exception that, because in my mind I still see tithing as an act of blessing, not outside the command of God, but an act of giving in response to understanding I'm blessed by God. In my mind, like you said, we do offerings today. But tithing has kind of become synonymous with giving.
Right.
When people say, are you tithing? It isn't the understanding, are you giving the required 10% that the Israelites were required to give? It's, like you said, are you giving? Because what you said, if you look at the entirety of what the New Testament says about giving, and there's a woman who answered this, her name is Heather. She goes by the Itty Bitty Bible Study on various platforms. Have lots of respect for her because she's very biblical in her responses. And her response to this was, no, just like you, no, we are not called to tithe as Christians today. But we are called to give everything we can, as much as we can, sacrificially, but not to the point of suffering. We're not to deprive our family of food and shelter in order to give. Pretty much everything that you said.
And I think my problem, or how I see it sometimes, is that a lot of Christians who can give more don't, because they go on this 10% tithing thing. They have that in their minds that God only requires 10%. I may be making $1 million, and I have the ability to give $500,000 to someone, but I'm not going to do that because I only need to give my 10%.
So that's a really good point. I think, like you said, and I'm guilty of this because I use the term tithing not as a 10% thing, but more as the first use of it, acknowledging I'm giving because I acknowledge that God has blessed me, so I'm willing to give back. But I think you're right that term tithing has limited us to the 10% model, which a lot of churches will use today. I don't do this. I'm pretty sure your church doesn't do this, but there are. I have had people tell me that there are churches that demand to see your payroll stub because they want to make sure that you're giving 10%.
And if I was in a church like that, I would be leaving the moment they asked that question.
I would wholeheartedly be leaving because that's not biblical. But I do think for us, we're going to set that definition as, no, we are not required to tithe. Give 10%, but we are called to tithe, give what we can, as much as we can, acknowledging we're giving it because we're blessed by God. And I hope that makes right. sense to everyone. So we're not required to tithe, give the 10% that was demanded of the Israelites in the Old Testament, but we can use that term and say, yes, we are called, not required, called to tithe, to give out of what we've received, acknowledging we have received it because we've been blessed by God. And right. we're to give as much as we can, even to the point of sacrificial giving, but not to the point of suffering. And I right. think that sums it up. Which brings us to the next question, which I kind of think we answered. Hannah from TikTok says, does tithing have to be a percentage, or can it be whatever amount we set aside first to be given to God? I think that's a key thing, that whatever we want to call it, tithing, your offerings, whatever you're giving, that should be first, in my mind, to God. Before I take for me, if I'm acknowledging I have this because I've been blessed by God, then we should be giving it to God first.
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And that goes along with something else that I saw somebody wrote in. Do we give off of our gross, or do we give off of our net income? And going to the blessing theme, do you want a 10% blessing, or do you want a full blessing? You know, the Bible's clear that we are to give out of our abundance, and we are to give as cheerful givers. So if I'm coming in and I'm throwing $100 bill into the offering plate and looking around to see who is watching me throw that $100 bill into the offering plate, then we're doing it wrong. I'm only there to give so people can see what I'm giving. And that's not the way the Bible tells us to do it. So I think we should give what we are able to give. I have someone in my church that is very strapped. I mean, he can't afford much of anything. Sometimes he just throws loose change into the offering plate because that's all he has. Sometimes he puts $10 or $20 in because that's what he has. So in my mind, it is doing, like you said, being sacrificial, but not suffering. So we give up to the point where we can without affecting our families, because God wants us to take care of our families first. That is the principle he set forth from the beginning. You take care of your loved ones.
Yes.
You know.
So I think in answer to Hannah's question, whether it has to be a percentage or it can be an amount,
yes.
I don't think there's a yes. It can be a percentage. Yes, it can be an amount. It has to be a matter of the heart. Savvy Tams from TikTok said, I believe in giving joyfully. Sometimes it is not always 10%. Give what you can with cheerfulness. But then she goes into, where should the money go? But before we get to that, let me see. This is more in line with what we're discussing. We'll get back to her question. Keith K says, I'm in the Philippines doing missionary work. I also have a U.S. remote job. That means my 10% is a lot to tithe here. Am I wrong for using most of my tithe to buy food for struggling families instead?
No. I'll give you an example. My mom, we didn't have a lot. My mom would, what she would call, split her tithe. She would give some to the church. She would keep some back for people who needed something that we could not afford to give them, but she had the money set aside out of a fund to just for taking care of others. And I think that is a very biblical principle, that you can give to the church what you can, but to help others too. So I don't think it's wrong to split
I don't think it's wrong to help others, but I also don't want people to get to the, oh, it's okay not to give to the church so I can, right. so I can help others.
Exactly.
But then you get into the instance of what God said of, hey, you're robbing God. You're taking away.
Right.
No matter what the justification is, you're robbing God. I think you can do both.
I agree that.
I think it's a matter of, you know, hey, I'm going to give to God first.
Yeah.
And then if I'm going to keep a small portion, or I'm going to, maybe I can give, and this is, it's going to vary from person to person. Maybe I can give to God first every paycheck, but I have to save up a couple of paychecks to give to other people. But I'm going to do that as well.
And that's exactly what my mom basically did. I mean, she would give to the church first, the 10% right off the bat, but then she would take a little bit more and put it into an envelope for anybody that needed help. And, you know, that's just what she did. That's what I've always done, you know.
Yeah, and that's again, we're not under the Old Testament, but that's the biblical practice that they did of, hey, give your tithes, but then here are these other offerings that you can bring.
Right.
And you can use those to help other people.
Yeah.
All those type of things. Let's see. Kiki Bradley from TikTok said, when you offer a tithe, it's only supposed to be food and clothes, not money. Jesus destroyed the temple where people were collaborating over money. So if tithe, I think he's basing it off of the Old Testament, like you were saying, how you had to bring the first fruit of your crops. But we don't get to compare a non-mercantile farming community to today. The principle, like you said, there are principles of giving, was that what you get out of that, you give. Now, if you're getting clothing from your sheep or you're getting vegetables from your crops, that's one thing. But if you're getting a paycheck, you're still getting something. I think the idea he has, and this is where it gets legalistic, the people who are legalistic. Well, since I'm not a farmer and I don't have crops, I don't have to give anything to the church.
Right.
There's one person who brought up a really good question. I forget her name, but I have it in there. So how is the church supposed to pay their bills if all the people are like, I don't have to give?
And if he wanted to go with that principle that we're only supposed to give food and clothing, then what does he do with the book of Acts when it says that they came in and they sold everything they had and they put it all together so that everyone could participate and have what they needed?
Yeah, and that's like you said, that's one of the things where people are not commanded to do it, but it's one of the principles based on, again, acknowledging how much God has blessed us and all that.
Right, right. So
Driller's Lady from TikTok said, the New Testament says to give as you see fit with a cheerful heart, which is what we've been saying. And she says, from a New Testament perspective, it's anything you have to give. Now, here's the thing. What about people, and someone else brought this up, see if I can find it, giving, if you can't give money, can you give time or talent and donate your time instead if you don't have money? I'm trying to find the person who said that, but yeah, I get. But what about that?
And again, I think that is fine. The gentleman I was talking about donates his time by coming down and doing trimming around the church and things like that. But we need to be careful. However, as you would say, however, comma, we need to be careful because we can use that as an excuse not to give financially to the church.
Exactly.
I think the first thing we are called to do, not obligated, but called to do, is to give financially to the church, to help with the operations of the church and the ministries of the church. You know, I think that is the first thing we need to do. If we can't do that, then yes, we are all given talents, we're all given gifts that we can use to further God's kingdom.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly, because those things can become legalistic, and the person who doesn't have a job, can't give, or can't afford to give, who says, well, I'm going to go clean the church, or I'm going to go do this, but then, you know, move down the road, they get a job, they have the resources and finances to give, they stop cleaning the church because now they have a job, and they don't give because they kind of try to justify it. And Jacqueline Reeder says this, Catholic here, so I'm coming from that lens. She says, and I love the way she puts this, Jesus shifts from tithing to generosity. That becomes the focus in a New Testament. Yeah. And then she gets into where it should go, like helping a community. She gives an example of a food pantry. And then she gets into pastors and priests should not have access to who tithes. We will get to that. People have a lot of feelings on that. And I didn't specify it as clearly as I wanted to, but people had a lot of feelings on that. But Ron says church is supposed to help people who need help. So what are your thoughts on where should the money go from the tithe? Okay. And I'm just jumping back and forth as I hit the question. Yes. I was trying to keep it in order, but...
That's fine. I personally feel there are basically three, probably more than three, but three major areas when you're looking at where, what do we do with this money? Number one, we should look at the overall running of the church, the utilities, the salaries for the pastor, money for the programs like food banks and, you know, diaper drives and whatever you have. There's money that needs to be taken care of that. Then you take and you support your local ministries. Youth for Christ, Youth with a Mission, whatever you have in your community that is a local ministry. And then you support the missionaries, both foreign and domestic, because I believe we should have missionaries in our country, just like we have missionaries around the world. So those are the three kind of categories I go with. And I'll put this out there too. If you're in a smaller church and you're the pastor and they're paying you a salary you know they can't afford, then be the man or the woman that says, you know what, you can't afford this. I'm not taking that much money. And if they say, no, that's what we're giving you, then put it back in the offering the next week. You know, that's just my own personal thoughts.
Well, I agree with that. I think for most people, when they get a paycheck, their responsibility, they feel like, is I got to take care of my home, make sure we have a roof over our heads or whatever, take care of our family. Then we'll, you know, once I'm sure we have a roof over our head and the heat is on, then I'm going to, like, take care of family. Let's get extra clothes, get this, get that. And then if there's enough left over, I will help other people. And I think the same is true of the church, that you take care of the home, the building, the structure, the facility that you have, and make sure the bills are paid. I tell our congregation all the time, even when we do our budget, because we're about to have our annual budget meeting, we have, here's our budget, and then we have what we call a plan B. If all else fails and there's not enough money coming in, plan B is what we have to pay. Lights, utilities, all those things. Because we can't call ourselves good stewards if we say, I'm not going to pay the lights and the heat, even though we used it, because they're not charging us in advance. They're charging us for what we used. Then we can't call ourselves good stewards. Right. So taking care of that, and then take care of what are the ministry needs, and then missionary needs. And then after that, if there's a need in the community, how can we be of help? Because I think everyone keeps saying, and I hear this all the time, and I'm so sick of it, why are there all these homeless people when all these churches get all this money? First of all these churches don't get all this money. None of the people asking that question are the ones who tithe to a church.
Right.
Which we'll get into who has a say in where the money goes. I don't think they do. You have no say. You're not tithing to my congregation. You have no say. That's why we have a vote. The people in the church, they have a say. Right. All the people who are just mouthing off online, no say. But I think the money should be focused based on the mission of the church. And our mission is not to go out and clothe all the homeless people or build shelters for all the homeless people. The mission of the church is to share and show the love of Christ, to make disciples and share the gospel. So that needs to be funded before anything else.
Right.
Now, we as individuals, like you were saying, are called after we give to God. Yeah, do we have resources that we can use to help feed the homeless and to help clothe the homeless? Yeah, but that mandate is not given to the body of Christ.
Right.
That mandate is given to Christians who make up the body of Christ. So our financial responsibility to use the resources from that congregation, I agree with you, take care of it. Make sure the bills are paid, and people argue, well, all these pastors are making all this money. I don't know if the statistic has changed, but 70 to 80% of pastors are in churches of 100 or less. It's probably more like 70 or less. So all these pastors are not making all this money. That is not the truth. And again, so what are your thoughts on people who don't tithe having a say on where the money for that congregation, how it should be used?
And this is the tricky part of being a pastor, really. You asked, and I know you said we'll get into this, if pastors should know who gives and what they give. And my answer to that is no, we shouldn't. Because that will dictate what I'm about to say. If I knew what people were giving and who was giving what, I would call, probably in my carnal nature, would call them out and say, you ain't got a right to say it because you're not putting anything but a couple dollars in the offering anyways. You know,
that's a valid point. Yeah.
So, but I think members of the church who are tithing or giving their offerings and tithes should have a say in where that money goes and how it should be spent. The extra money. Let me make that specific. They don't have a say in the regular bills because they're set. You know, like you said, we have to pay the rent. We have to pay, you know, the mortgage and the whatever it is. We have to pay that. So those are things that are set, but anything extra, I think, should be discussed as a congregation. Where do we send this? Do we send it to this missionary first? This missionary may have a greater need this month. So do we send extra to them this month because they have a greater need? I'm also all for, and this is kind of a little controversy maybe, but I think if we know a need is, there's an extra need to be, that a missionary has, it's not wrong to take a second offering just to meet that need of that specific need. I don't think that's wrong at all. So.
Oh yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I'm going to come back to what you said only to answer. Andrea on Facebook said, how do pastors feel when their church member doesn't tithe, but instead uses money to fill another biblical instruction, which we kind of talked about, like giving to other people. I think the idea, and again, we're using tithing to mean not that you are required to give this 10%, because that can be limiting, even though you're able to give more. But we're using tithing to mean that you are giving what you can based on understanding that God has blessed you with it, and that money should go to God first and then to other people. I will say this, and this is why I asked that question about should pastors know. And the bulk, 99%, I made that number up, but 99% of the pastors say, no, we shouldn't know. I'm in the 1% that says they don't have to know, but it's okay if they do know. And I get, like you said, we can be very carnal and think, oh, well, you don't have a say because you only give so much anyway. I do the reporting. I don't touch any of the money. Whether it's cash or checks or whatever, but I do the reporting because I like to know to the penny where everything is going. So I do all of the reporting. So the reality is I know who gives what. By the time I'm done, I don't remember.
Yes.
Like, I don't remember, like, oh, Mark gave $25 this month. And if I did remember, how do I know if Mark's giving, you know, $25 because he made 30 and gave most of what he made to the church, or if he's giving $25 because he made 3,000 and is only I don't know that part, so it doesn't matter to me. And there probably are people who only give a couple dollars, but I don't know what their income is, so I don't know.
Right.
I don't think pastors have to know. But I think they can know. And I asked this question to people. So does that mean the treasurer or whoever does know, are they carnal and are they mistreating people based on who gives what?
And I would hope not.
Yeah, I don't. And I think, I know I haven't mistreated anyone based on what we're giving. I think we tend to think the worst of ourselves. But I think most God-honoring, Holy Spirit-filled, Bible-believing pastors are not going to hold it against people. The potential is there, definitely, for the enemy to use that to attack us. So I don't think they have to know, but I think it's okay if they do know.
Yeah, I kind of like, I've been in several churches. We pass a plate, but I've been in several churches where they had offering boxes, and you would just go put your offering in a box, and nobody knew what anybody was given, because unless they had it on a little envelope and said, this is my tithe. But a lot of that is just cash going in. At my church, we do the offering plate, but there's not a check that's written in our church, other than maybe once in a while. Everybody just gives cash. And nobody wants a receipt back. So we don't know who's giving what they're giving. Which is okay in my mind, but if I was in a bigger congregation, it might be a little different. We would want to keep a better record of who's giving what so they can get tax write-offs and all that. But for like my small congregation, most of them aren't even looking as a tax write-off. They're just looking as helping the church, you know, so.
Yeah, and to that point, there are, because I've been in churches where they're so small, it's the pastor who's carrying the plate from person to person to person. And to that point, they do see exactly who puts what into the offering. So,
and I do that every once in a while because I don't have anybody that can do it.
Yeah, I don't think it's a crime.
No.
I don't think the pastor has to know, because there is that potential for the enemy to come in and use that in some way. But I don't think it's wrong for the pastor to know.
Yeah.
There are, and I heard this, I don't think it was a podcast, I think it might have been a book I read, where one pastor was talking about the fact that here's ways that you can increase your giving. Find out who's giving the most and write them letters of thank you so they can give more. And my heart broke. I was like, no. Yeah. I was like, what about the person who, you know, the woman with the two mites who gave all she had? She deserves a letter of thanks. not to ask her to give more because she gave all she had. So I think it runs the spectrum, and I agree that the pastor doesn't have to know because there is potential for the enemy to come in and misuse that, but I don't think it's a crime.
Yeah, and it could be misused both ways. It could be misused as, I give to this church so much that I should have the biggest say.
Yeah.
And then you have a problem, you know, or you don't give enough, so you don't have a say. You know, there has to be a medium where everyone has a say.
So Mama Hen, I think she's on TikTok. She might have been on Facebook.
I love that name.
Yeah. She said, I would like an opinion on this. My family and I do tithe at church, but sometimes we choose to use our 10% out in the community to feed somebody. And we already talked about that, giving to God first and then using resources to help others. And then VS45 says that we should give freely from the heart as we determine in our hearts. There is no amount or percentage. We already talked about that. And Thomas Schuler on TikTok, he's a regular follower of mine, says, what if you don't have enough money to tithe? Can you tithe your time? We already talked about that. And this is the one, Mitzi23 says, how would churches pay their bills if people don't tithe? All the people claiming you don't have to tithe, you don't have to give, then how do they expect the church to pay their bills? Which is a great question.
Yeah, and it's a great question, a great point. You know, the church would not exist.
Yeah,
if people didn't give.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I don't preach a lot on money. I preach when we have a need. I'll bring it up, but I don't preach unless it comes up in scripture. I don't preach on money. I'm not one of these that will sit there and say, hey, you know, we need this, we need this, we need this. Every once in a while when I turn on the live stream, because we do a lot of stuff before the live stream turns on, I may say, hey, if you're interested in helping our ministry, here's how you can help. And I give the address. If someone sins, someone sins. If they don't, they don't.
Yeah, same. We don't preach on money. We will take time, and I forget. I try to do this regularly. We will take time to give thanks to God. For people to give their tithes and offerings. We do an offering box there in the back. So usually myself or one of the elders will come up and pray and give thanks for the offering. But we don't do sermons on giving unless it comes up in scripture. Or like you said, hey, there's a need. Jess LMCG on YouTube said, I believe it's giving 10% of your gross income. I think we talked about that. This is where Christy and I disagree, only because of my mindset. Again, I don't care if people give on the grocery or not. Do whatever you feel led. In her mind, it's like, hey, if you see your check, whatever that number is, you made $1,000. Granted, they're going to take out taxes. You made $1,000, then you have a minimum of 10% of that to give. In my mind, I just see it as I look at not what I made, but what's coming to me. So after taxes and everything, out of that $1,000, you're getting 12.
Yeah.
or whatever it is. Whatever I see coming to me, because I want it to be personal, this is what's coming to me. And out of what's coming to me, I'm taking, giving to God. But since she writes our tithe text, she does everything off of the gross, which I'm fine with. I don't care. Whenever I was doing it, I just did it off of, here's what's coming to me, and out of what's coming to me, give to God. But Jess also asked, where can you hear the podcast? So I messaged him and told him. So now we're up to your question. should pastors tithe to their church since they're getting paid by the church? And you said that someone asked you this, and the reason they asked is because the pastor is just paying themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a good question. It's a really good question.
It is a good question. Here are my thoughts. I cannot tell people to tithe if I'm not tithing. I think I should model it. We make sure we tithe. And I disagree with the pastor's paying himself, because that means it gives the mindset that all the money is coming to the pastor.
Right.
Which we both know is so not true.
Right.
In many congregations, the biggest percentage of what comes in is salary, not obviously in our churches. And I, like right. you, have made the decision, hey, I see what's coming in. I know how much we have. So I've reduced my salary multiple times to where it's not even a salary. It's more like a stipend. Because I want to make sure that we are good stewards, that we are paying the bills, that we can help missionaries, that we can do all the things. But I don't think it's paying myself. I think it's giving to God. And then hopefully, and this is why we have board members and we pray about it, and we vote on it, because we want to make sure we're being good stewards of what God has blessed us with. That's my thoughts on it.
Yeah. I
don't see it as paying myself. At all.
And I don't either. I mean, it is a good question. And there's no biblical requirements of the pastor to tithe to the local church. But as you said, I think it is, it's showing and setting an example that we are giving to the church. We are participating, not just with our teaching, not just with our time, but we are participating financially to the church as well. Going back just a second on your gross or net income, I think my thought and the way I was always taught was you tithe off your gross. You take your first fruits, and that would be the gross that comes in. But I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to that. I don't think there's a, you know, it's what the Lord lays on your heart. That's the whole thing about offerings and tithing, is it has to be something personal between you and God. It can't be something that is dictated by the church. Like you said, I've heard and seen of churches that say, I want to see your pay stub because I want to make sure you're giving
10%.
Yeah. And that's just wrong in my mind.
Yeah.
Because it's not a personal giving at that time. It is a it's an allotment that you are done. When the Israelites were told to give 10%, a lot of people then thought it was taxation, that the church was, that, you know, they were just being taxed by God, 10%. And you never want that to be the feeling of giving in the church.
Yeah, exactly.
You want it to be, that's why you call free will offerings. You know, you want it to be from the heart to God. And it's only between you and God. So I can't tell you how much to give, and I can't tell you how much not to give. That's up to you and God.
Yeah. And I think I already said this. Savvy Tams said that I think the church's money should go to the ability to keep the bills paid, pay the staff. After that, people in the congregation who have a need. After that, local community, and also to support missions.
Yeah.
And then I can't see the name. Oh, Sean 30, this might have been on YouTube, said, as for what the church should do with the money, it should be put back into the church. But it should be a pillar within the community, help those who need help. And we already talked about that. Yeah, you should help people, but definitely use the resources to...
And can I just say... And this is a burden on my heart, but all of the government assistance programs that are out there that are being scammed like crazy right now, if the church was more involved in helping the homeless, the poor, the needy, like we should be, there wouldn't be a need for those government agencies in the first place. And that's just my own personal thoughts.
And I agree we should help, but I also see the inability of the majority of the churches to help, because we get, for example, like we were saying, most people think, oh, I'm going to give 10%. Most people don't give anything at all. So in this community, you're getting 10% from people in the community, less than that sometimes, or none, whereas right. The government is getting 40, 50, minimum 30% from their taxes. So they have the more resources to help. I am very on board, and I think someone mentioned, and I hope I didn't miss anyone's question, those like local food banks that say to the government, hey, give me a grant and I will use this to help the people in the community. Because a lot of food banks are run out of churches. Some are run from other organizations through wherever they can find a place. But most of them are run out of churches, and they get a government grant. And they say, hey, we know the needs of the people, and we will use that to help people. And a lot of them will throw in their own money in addition to that, all that stuff. I know people say that's a mix of church and state and yada, yada, yada. Whole different conversation. Right. But I think, the church can and should be helping, but the church doesn't have the resources that, like, the government
right.
has.
But if people were giving like they should be, we would have that. But
yeah, there was a pastor at one of the ministeriums I used to go to. Ministerium is a group of pastors in the community right. that meet. And he used to say this all the time, that if every single person who makes up the congregation would actually tithe or give what they could, it would never be another spaghetti fundraiser or any of those things to meet any of the needs, because the church would have the resources to meet the needs.
Right.
And I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yep.
And Chris the Baptizer said the church should not be tithing. Definitely an old covenant concept. Paul describes a generous giver. So I think he's going, not saying don't give anything at all, but be a generous giver. He says if you have it to give, that's fine. But then he says a generous giver doesn't have to be money. Another type of giving is your service, which we've already discussed. And I think Jesse used to be a part of our college Bible study ministry. She says, no, I do not think the pastor should see who tithes. That should be between the person and God. And I do understand that, but I think whether it be a pastor or a treasurer, there's somebody that sees that. I don't right. think it should be, if there was a way for people to give and it goes straight to the bank without anyone seeing it, and we'd still get a report and documentation of how much, so we know it, that would be great, but I agree with her. And she does say, I think the church should still be tithing because it is showing God that you trust him with everything. I think I agree with that. The church should first use the money on bills, then to community outreach. And she says, this coming from a future pastor and currently the secretary of her church. So I agree with her. And Bree. Bree said, we love Bree. Bree is like family to us. She is family to us, her and her husband, Chris the Milkman. She said, honestly, my only thoughts on this are no, the pastor shouldn't be able to see who's individually tithing, as that's when I feel it can become favoritism for who gives the most, which we talked about. It can. I wholeheartedly agree with that. And she says, I'm not saying all pastors, but I've seen it so many times that I personally don't understand the benefits of knowing who give how much and why it matters. And it doesn't matter. And again, my case, I'm not trying to build the case that pastors should know. I'm building the case that it is okay when pastors have to do it, and it's okay that they do know. But I'm also building the case, and I agree with everyone, that it can be a point of favoritism, can be a place where the enemy can come in and use that. And she says, after the church is taken care of, lights, food, functions, bills get paid, then the rest of the money should be used in things that help the community. And I think I've hit all the questions.
Yeah, I think we have done a good job on this one.
Yeah, except for this last one. We're gonna end up with this last one. I think as the Christian dirtbag, she says, as someone who tends to lean towards more missionary churches where most of the money goes to literally keeping our pastor fed, housed, and clothed, and the church doors open, I very much struggle with tithing here in the States. So I can see that, because most of the stories you hear are not about, you know, like you and me who barely get paid. We're doing it because we feel like this is our calling. We're not trying to get as much money out of the church as we can. Most of the stories people hear are about the pastor who just bought a new Beamer, you know, the spotlight on...
jet planes and all of that.
Yeah, jet planes, multi-million-dollar homes, all that kind of thing. Now, this is twofold thinking, because I do not think... I agree with people who say the pastor shouldn't be making all that money. Majority of the money should not go to the pastor. I agree with that. However, I agree, because I've been a part of a church where we had $1 million budget. There were literally thousands of volunteers. And so I don't think you can pay that pastor who's dealing with all that, all those volunteers, all that staff, $30,000 a year. I did not, and I sat on the board for a period of time of that church, and I did not have a problem with the pastor making six figures, because I saw all that he had to do. Up there with, you know, all the business, this and this and that and the other in large companies, all the stress, all the chaos, all the headaches, all the property issues, all the management issues, all the personnel issues, and all the volunteer issues, and all the stress and struggle when there wasn't enough money coming in. So I think, as Paul says, they're worth their, I forget the verbiage he uses, they're worth their keep. So if they're doing that much work and they're that big, you can't get away with saying, oh yeah, but a pastor should only make $30,000, but they're doing the work of someone who makes, you know, a lot more.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
I agree. I mean, I do agree to that point. I just think there's a thing about a pastor being humble and receiving that kind of money, and a pastor who flaunts receiving that kind of money.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
So, I mean, if your church, if you're blessed to have a church that can give you a three-figure salary, then have the humility to look at the congregation and say, I'm doing this, but I know most of you have made this possible for me.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the problem. Because we get into some of the televangelists, telepreachers that are out there saying, we just need money. We just need you. The Lord told me I need this new jet, and I need you to pay for this new jet. I'm telling you right now, that's not biblical. It's not sound. And you're stupid if you give to them.
I am telling you right now, and I will say this like Paul, this is me saying this, not the Lord.
Right.
You need to leave that church.
Exactly.
You need to leave that church. Their focus is too much on money, and you need to leave that church. Again, God didn't tell me to say this. This is just Floyd saying this.
Yeah, and I'm the same way. I agree. I'm in agreement with you on that. So,
but I also think if, for example, there's a pastor who's making a modest income, it's not a large church, and, you know, but if they hold down another job or go off and write books, like I wish our books would take off.
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden our books took off to the point where we became millionaires off of the book sales, but we're not taking any more money from the church. In fact, we turn around and say we don't need the money because they're not paying us a whole lot anyway. You keep your money. I don't think other people have the right to criticize people who make their money outside of the
church. No. That's something.
If that's a lot because they're doing a lot, like if someone, you know, at my church I was in Virginia, there was the executive pastor was a former executive at Exxon Oil.
Yeah.
So he was making millions of dollars, stepped down from that to serve as the executive pastor of the church, making way less. But because he had been an executive, he had money and a lifestyle. And there were some people who tried to criticize that. And my thing was, no. That's money he made outside of the church. You don't get to criticize that. And he gave generously to the church. Right. So you don't get to criticize people. We don't get to criticize wealth. Everyone thinks if you're a pastor, you have to be poor. That's not biblical either.
No.
It's not biblical.
And I think that's where the teaching of stewardship comes in. Being good stewards of what God has given us. And I think that is something we don't preach enough on, is stewardship. It has nothing to do with money. It has to do with what God has blessed you with.
Yeah, so I am looking through, and I think we have hit... I might have missed this one. Michelle Jones says, I do believe in tithing, but it should be done willingly and not because we think we have to, which goes into, and I want to keep reiterating this, that from a biblical perspective, what we are defining as tithing is not the biblical command to the Old Testament Israelites to give 10%, but the call that God puts on our heart as Christians to give out of what he has blessed us with, acknowledging we're giving because he has blessed us with it, and giving what we can, as much as we can, to the point of sacrificial giving, but not to the point of suffering. And I think I've covered everyone's questions. But any final thoughts on tithing?
Be a cheerful giver.
That's a big one.
That's the best. I mean, that's the best advice I can give you. If you come into the church and you're given just to give because you feel that's what God requires of you, then don't give. I'm sorry. Just don't give. Because it's not helping anyone.
I tell people that all the time.
Yeah. But, you know, God wants us to be cheerful in our giving. He wants us to be able to help. I saw a quote somewhere, and I don't remember where it was. And this really can apply not just for the church, but for individuals. When someone gives you something who can't afford to give it to you, it's out of love. It's not out of obligation. And that's the way we should be with God. We should be giving God out of love, not out of obligation. Not wanting anything back for what we're giving him. Because he's given it all to us.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just saw one comment that... here it is, that I missed. And I want to close with this because Natalie, who is... Don't hate me, Natalie, if you listen to this. I think she's in Denmark. She might be in Norway. I forget what. Netherlands. She's in the Netherlands. Okay. She's in the Netherlands. She's in the Netherlands. Some of her videos are in whatever that language is, and I don't understand them. A lot of them are in English. She's a God-honoring woman, and She says she used to pray that God would bless her economy, her and her husband's, so that they could tithe. And she said, I don't remember if it's just recently, she said just recently, they started tithing, and it's gotten to the point where they have money to pay all their bills, but they're not having a lot of extra. But she's trusting God because they have had lots of extra, and she knows it's because of God. And I shared with her that back when I first started tithing, I was trying to understand what it was. I started and said, I don't know that I have enough to tithe, but I'm going to start just giving 1%. And I did, and God blessed that. And over time, once I realized, wow, look, God has, I'm still able to pay my bills, I increased it to 5%, and then over time to 10%, and to now we're just giving what I can, and helping others. So I think for people who are not tithing and not giving, I would just say, and someone asked me this, what if you don't have enough money to tithe, don't think you have enough? Just start with anything that you can. Yeah. If it's a nickel, a dime, I can't say a penny because they stopped making those, but a dollar, just start with whatever you can.
The Lord's going to bless you, those who have a cheerful giving. The Lord promised to bless us. And you know, I've heard stories where a businessman owned a furniture store out in Toledo, Ohio. He started at 10% giving to the church. His business started growing and growing. He ended up living off of 10% and giving the church 90%, or giving back to God 90%. So, I mean, God can do and will do for those who are obedient to him.
Okay, but before I ask you to pray, I got to make this clarification, because we are not preaching nor teaching a, what's it called? The
prosperity
gospel, name it, claim it. God's going to bless me. I'm giving to get blessed, money back from God. God is not an investment.
No.
It's not the stock market. That's not the way it works. That's not what we are preaching. We are preaching that you should give because you acknowledge God has blessed you. Then you should joyfully give back to God.
Amen.
All right. So on that note, I think this has been a pretty long one. I'm not going to cut it into two parts just because I want everyone to get the full conversation. And people can scroll through, and I think I got everyone's questions that submitted questions. If I did not answer your question, I apologize. I tried to organize this on my phone so I could cycle through. But we're going to end with prayer for, can you pray for one, those people who want to tithe, but maybe, or who want to give, but maybe don't know where to start, but also pray for local churches that are struggling because they don't have, they have people, but not all those people are giving.
And I just heard of a church in Aliquippa that's closing their doors because of that. So, so we need to pray for it. So, Father, we thank you once again for your goodness and your mercy and your favor towards us. And Lord, we just thank you for being able to talk freely about things that are important to you, not just important to us. We know that you don't need our money, you don't need our tithes, you don't need our offerings, but you've called us to be participants in your ministry, and that is what it takes. So, Lord, we just thank you for the ability to give to you what you've given to us, and we thank you for the blessings. And we ask, Lord, for the to be with the churches and the pastors who are struggling, who are trying to just keep the doors open, Lord, that you would just move in their favor, Lord. And if it's your will that they close their doors. And Lord, we ask that you would put them in places where they will still be of service to you. We understand that the church is not a building that we are called to, but a family that we belong to. So we just ask, Lord, that you would bless our family as a whole. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless everyone listening to this podcast, that they would just see a blessing in their lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.